This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you, Sabrina, for the news. My name is Rich Bradbury. This, of course, is Enterprise BizBytes. On this Friday, 28th of June, 2018, in the studio with me right now is...
Arvind Viraj.
And Christine Wong.
We are going to be with you all the way through until 1 o'clock this afternoon. We've got some podcast recommendations coming for you at the end of the show for stuff that we think you might want to check out over the weekend. Four stories lined up. If you want to get in touch with the show, 018-789-8899 or get us on Twitter at BFM Radio. The stories that we have, we're going to be starting off with a study that shows Singapore travellers are the most likely to feel unsafe using ride-sharing services. Mm-hmm. Something we can have a bit of a chat about. Then how, a bit of a sad piece of news,
yeah.
Honda will be retiring their Asimo robot.
Oh, no.
Right? Mm-hmm. Have they got an Asimo too?
I will tell you more about that later.
Okay. Then how radar could put an end to diabetic finger pricking.
Mm-hmm.
Can you make the radar sound?
I don't know what the radar sound is.
You don't know how to do it?
No. Wow.
Wow. The Doppler effect sound.
And then story number four, hey, Facebook users. The makers of Adblock Plus, they want your screenshots to train its AI. I use Adblock Plus.
So
it's
do I.
Phenomenal.
It's my savior.
Right. Let's start off with this thing about Singaporean travelers. Right. So when it comes to ride-hailing options, business travelers around the world feel slightly safer in taxis than in ride-sharing services. This is according to a recent study. Do we feel the same about that? Would you feel safer in a normal taxi?
No.
Right?
Because at least with ride-sharing services, you have a record of who's driving
yes.
you, what car they're driving, you know, when you have the history logged of when they picked you up
okay.
and stuff like that. So.
Of?
Yeah, same.
I agree, right. Yeah. So based on research published on Thursday by global travel management company Carlson Wangelit Travel,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What a great name.
Yeah.
Approximately 2 in 5, that's 39% of business travelers surveyed, said that they feel somewhat or very vulnerable about personal safety in ride-sharing services compared to 36% for taxis. It's not a huge amount. I mean, you know, 3%. So this survey data was compiled from over 2,000 business travelers from 17 countries across the Americas, Europe, and Asia Pacific. They were polled. They were required to have had more than 4 business trips within the past 12 months to participate in this study. So Asia Pacific business travelers in particular were observed to be the most concerned demographic. Amongst this group of respondents, 43% felt worried about using ride-sharing services, whereas 39% felt the same for taxis. So to put this into perspective, 40% of business travelers in the Americas express worry about ride-sharing services, while 39% feel unsafe in taxis. In Europe, the figures are 34% and 28%. So Singaporean business travelers were identified as the most likely to feel unsafe when using ride-sharing services, with the gap in perceived risk between ride-sharing services and taxis wider than the global and regional averages. Nearly half, 48% of Singapore respondents, felt insecure about taxis. Almost 3 in 5, 58%, expressed concerns about ride-sharing. So the managing director of Carlson Wangelit Travel for Asia Pacific said, in cities across the globe, using ride-sharing services has become a way of life. The familiar and convenient experience they provide has made them a preferred mode of transport for many business travelers, not just business travelers. Still, people continue to hear about safety incidents surrounding ride-sharing services around the world, which might explain in part why some travelers are worried about using them. So for ride-hailing service in general, female travelers in Europe and Asia, Asia Pacific, have a greater tendency to feel apprehensive about personal safety over men. I don't know how I feel about this. I mean, like you say, Chris and Arv, you know, I feel a lot more safe getting into a ride-hailing car because, like you say, you know, I know who's driving it for the most part. You know, there's a picture of them there. I know what their car is. I know it's generally of a fairly decent spec, you know, and it's clean and it's decent. Whereas if you're just flagging down a taxi at the side, in Malaysia anyway.
Yeah.
Yes, so that was what I was going to say. Yeah.
I mean, that I want to be very clear about that. Mm-hmm. You know, here in Malaysia, it's very different. I would like to say, without putting my head on the chopping block, you know, I think these ride-hailing apps here in Malaysia have drastically changed the way in which we interact with these kind of vehicles.
Yeah, because, you know, I think that it depends on how good the taxi services were before Grab or Uber came into the picture. I think
you weren't living
really
here at the time, were you?
Yeah. So, for example, So, for example, when I was in Bangkok, I quite trusted taxi drivers. Mm. You know, that was my main mode of transport getting around. I mean, there was also like the BTS, which is like the kind of MRT equivalent. But, you know, that didn't get me to the place I wanted to go directly. So there was that kind of last mile issue to solve with that. So in that, on that front, when I went back to Bangkok recently to visit, I didn't really like feel comfortable with Grab because it didn't... There was already taxis that I knew how to deal with, and while they were the same service, through Grab they were actually a bit slower and a bit like I couldn't really respond to them or anything like that, you know. So actually it was weird because I was so used to how taxis worked before.
Right.
So maybe this might be the same thing with Singaporeans. I don't know how good the Singaporeans' taxi service is.
They're good.
It's very good.
They're very impressive.
Yeah. So in that case.
Right. So, and this kind of brings me onto another issue. If you've, like you say, Chrissy, you know, you travel in Thailand, the taxi services generally in the bigger metropolitan areas are very, very good.
Yeah.
Hong Kong also. Vietnam, very reliable if you're getting, you know, a well-known taxi brand.
That's why most of their Grab stuff is for bikes.
Correct. Correct.
Yep.
But I think Malaysia is a very different beast.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. I've had relatives who lived in Singapore for a long, long time. So I've been, like, every time I've been to Singapore, I've used their taxis. I've never been in a bad taxi.
Same.
Yeah. So never been in a bad car, never had a bad driver. It was always like a good experience. They always showed up on time. You know, they knew which ways to take and stuff. So I guess, and also taxis are more uniform. If you look at them, they have certain kinds of cars. You know which cars are taxis. They're owned by certain companies. It's all very structured and it's all very Singaporean. And I'm not saying that in like a bad or like a teasing way. I'm just, it's very structured. So it makes sense that they would sort of trust taxis and taxi companies more than just some, you know, I'm not saying random people, but just like people in the crowd picking you up and
with their own cars.
With their own cars and stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's open up the phone lines, or the WhatsApp lines rather, 018-789-8899. Let us know what you think about this. I mean, do you agree with this? Do you feel safer here in Malaysia? Let's just focus it on Malaysia first. Do you feel safer in a taxi or in a ride sharing car? You know, do you use the apps? Just let us know. Because like we've just discussed, you know, Singapore, that's one thing, and Vietnam's one thing, and Thailand's one thing. Malaysia, as we've said, I think is very different. Just let us know what you think. 018-789-8899. Let's move on then from taxis to Honda.
Yeah.
Oh dear, that's not a good sign.
Yeah, that's not a good sign, no.
I'm afraid to tell you guys that, sadly, Asimo, Honda's adorable humanoid robot, is no more.
Hang on a minute. I might have something for this. Let's just keep talking.
Okay. Well, the company announced it would cease production of the robot in order to focus on... I shouldn't be laughing, but the music is funny. In order to focus on using Asimo's technology for more practical use cases in nursing and road transport. So, sadly, they will be stopping producing Asimo. It doesn't mean that they will... That's just disruptive.
Every time you say Asimo.
But anyway, so they've stopped production on this particular robot in order to focus on the technology that that they can use from having created Asimo. So work on Asimo, whose name stands for Advanced Step in Innovative Mobility, first began in the 80s and it was eventually unveiled in 2000. I hate saying that year out loud because it doesn't sound like a real year. But anyway, the first robot to walk on two legs, Asimo can, among other things, recognize multiple moving objects, determine the distance and direction of the objects, interpret voice commands and human gestures like a wave or a handshake, and autonomously navigate thanks to sensors within its body. It stands at 4 feet, 3 inches tall and weighs 119 pounds and can operate for an hour off a rechargeable 51.8-volt lithium-ion battery.
I saw it playing football once.
Yes, yeah. It played football with President Obama, won over Kelly Ripa, had a dancing group, and had some clumsy moments, like a terrible fall while trying to walk up a flight of stairs.
Mm, poor thing.
Yes.
So, if they're retiring Asimo, what's going to be replacing Asimo?
Well then, so they haven't quite stopped churning out the helper robots just yet. While Asimo may sadly be retiring, the company has announced a quartet of new helper robots at CES 2018.
I don't have a string quartet. That would have been perfect just then. Well, anyway, carry on. Sorry.
Okay. Comprised of a companion bot, an autonomous off-road vehicle, and two mobility concepts, all with similarly non-threatening and cute designs. There's a great video of what exactly they look like and what they do on The Verge. And they're all very round and very cute. It's very much so like they remind me a lot of Eve from WALL-E.
Right.
That kind of design. Yeah. Very, very round and cute and smooth. So other robotics products from Honda include the Unicub, which is a wheel that you sit down on and steer by leaning, and the Walking Assist, which is just a harness that aids in walking. So we might not be seeing Asimo's friendly face anymore, but at least it looks like Honda still wants to carry on its legacy in useful robots that make us go, aww.
So the essence of Asimo is still alive.
These are just Asimo's children.
Yeah, children. Yeah.
I wonder if he's going to be like, you know, sitting down and putting his feet up and relaxing a little bit.
Reading newspapers. Yeah. Having like mechanical coffee in the morning.
Yeah, and noodles.
Just like,
and
noodle, mechanical noodles. Like a nice brew of motor oil and lug nuts.
And wires.
Yeah.
Okay, enough of that. We're just being silly. Right, we're going to take a short break. Of course, don't forget if you're feeding back to us, 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number if you want to get in touch. We're talking about how a study has shown that Singapore travelers are the most likely to feel unsafe using ride-sharing services. I think the three of us in the studio have expressed the opposite of our experience here in Malaysia.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think. You can also get us on Twitter at BFM Radio. It's time for some music. We've got Interpol coming up now with Kamir here on BFM 89.9.
Boyish 40-something millionaires. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Arvind Yuvaraj
and Christine Wong.
We started off the show today with how a study has shown that Singaporean travellers are the most likely to feel unsafe using ride-sharing services. We've expressed the opposite opinion of our opinion here in Malaysia. We've had a couple of messages during the break, Chris, haven't we?
Yes. So this comes from Jessica on WhatsApp. And she says, given a choice, I will not take a taxi here. I always feel very nervous whenever I'm in a taxi. And I don't even dare to close my eyes, even though I'm very tired.
Oh, wow.
Of which I will just say, regardless of if you're in a Grab or a taxi or whatever, probably not a good idea to sleep in anything that is
in your own car.
Is in your own car that you aren't driving.
I'd agree with that.
So there's that, okay. First of all. But we also have a message in about the Asimo story, just because I mentioned that Honda was working on a few... Don't do it, Rich.
I'm going to do it.
Okay. Anyway, so we just have a few, a little bit of context on the other robotics projects that Honda has. And this is from Benjamin, also on WhatsApp, who says that the walking harness that I mentioned earlier has two types. One type is for the old people or crippled people to help them walk. The second type is to help workers at a warehouse lifting heavy items with power-assisted walking and lifting so that workers don't break their backs doing low-level labor.
Yeah, I saw some of those.
And then maybe in the future, Ripley could also beat up aliens with it.
That would be awesome.
That would be seriously awesome. Thank you.
Get away from her, you... Is the next line? Do you know the next word?
Yeah, okay, we all know that. Yep,
okay,
yep.
Right, let's move on swiftly before we get carried away. It's about radars and how it could put an end to diabetic finger pricking.
Finger pricking tests.
Right. This seems a strange approach to doing that.
Yeah. So we hate needles.
Everybody hates needles.
Or anything sharp that's invasive and takes blood out of your body.
Yes.
So this group of researchers led by Professor George Shaker from Canada's University of Waterloo is looking at using radar and AI technology to sort of be an alternative to those finger prick blood glucose tests.
Oh.
Yeah. So they don't have to draw blood anymore. They just use radars and they can detect the way it bounces off, literally how it bounces off the blood in a person's body.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is smart.
To check for glucose tests. Yeah. So it started with Google and German company Infineon. They jointly created a small radar device known as Soli. And then they invited teams from around the world to suggest possible applications for it. So Shaker's group responded by incorporating the device into a system that non-invasively measures glucose levels within various liquids. Mm-hmm. The way it does this is that it does it by sending high-frequency radio waves into those liquids, and then using AI algorithms to analyze the manner in which those waves are reflected. And then over 500 waves features are scrutinized, including the amount of time that elapses between the waves being emitted by the Soli device and then bouncing back to it.
Genius.
Genius, nice. Yeah. So just using radar technology, then they can find out how much glucose is in the blood, the accurate reading as well. So they won't have to use those finger prick tests anymore. So they say that at the moment, it's 85% accurate compared to finger prick testing, which is more than 90-something%, I think. So they want to boost it as time goes on, and they make modifications to the test itself, and then they do further research. Yeah, but for now, it seems like it's an alternative that could actually work, and it could actually be implemented in the next decade or so.
I mean,
once they fine-tune it.
Like, you know what I'm actually quite surprised by is that in this day and age, we have all sorts of crazy technology. Like, we've got self-driving cars and robots that can walk by themselves and stuff, and we still haven't gotten past needles. Like, you know, I'm surprised that we haven't already surpassed, you know, stabbing people with metal implements to figure out, like, medical things about them. You know what I mean? Like, it's taken this long to get to this point.
We need those things that they have in Star Trek, like the diffuser gun thing. That would be great.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I saw somewhere, I always forget names of books that I've read and stuff, but they say that our medical technology is something like 25 years behind everything else that we do.
Yeah.
So we've sort of, like, you know, like social media, the internet, the way the technology has advanced is so much. But for some reason, the way we treat people in hospitals is like 25 to 30 years behind time, because we're still invasive. We still cut people open to look for things, not even to do like actual surgeries, just to see what's wrong with them. We have to cut into their bodies. So
I mean, we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, and it was also brought up again on Geek Squad this morning about how they've helped develop a robot that can do operations on the human eye, right? And one of the reasons that they had to implement a robot to be able to do that is because a human being will shake and judder, micro judders or whatever, you know, and they have this robot to kind of stabilize that. I wonder if it's due to our own fallibility that we are this far behind, you know, in stuff like that.
But that's
like
the whole point, though. Yeah, because we are fallible, why haven't we already surpassed that with technology? It doesn't make any sense. Like, I actually don't understand why any kind of medical, you know, thing is still invasive in this day and age. But that's just me. Like, it's one of those things where I just don't understand how everything else has progressed so quickly and this hasn't.
It's a kind of it's a weird I wouldn't say dilemma, it's a weird paradox.
Let's just let him have that.
I'm sure that's not what it means, but it's a weird situation the medical thing has not caught up to everything else. But these guys, the scientists who are working on this with Infineon, they're trying to make it smaller, the device, the radar thing, so that it fits onto a smartwatch. So they can implement it, they can use it in those Fit watches and smartwatches and stuff, so people who have, you know, high or low blood sugar and stuff, they can get their readings like on the go.
And also, if you really get lost, you can use the radar to find your way out of there.
Maybe.
No, I'm just joking.
Yeah, no.
But that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Okay, right. It's time for a short break. Christine, do we have any messages yet?
I think we're still waiting on a few. So we'll see what happens if people want to talk to us after this song.
Folks, please talk to us. The number is 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. Of course, we started off the show with a story about how a study has shown that Singapore travellers are the most likely to feel unsafe using ride-sharing services. We feel the opposite here in Malaysia. We'd like to get your feedback. Let's have some music. A couple of songs back-to-back, yes. We'll have Lowell Fulson with Mellow Together, because that's what we are. And then we'll have Pat Benatar with Heartbreaker. All the way back to the 80s.
Just for Asimo.
Oh, yeah. Wait, Asimo. Poor little Asimo. Time for some music. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Be faithful, men. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes, folks. My name is Rich Bradbury. Of course, I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
Arvind Yuvaraj.
Started off the show with a study about how Singapore travellers are the most likely to feel unsafe using ride-sharing services. Then, later on in the show, we spoke about a story about how radar could put an end to diabetic finger pricking. We've had feedback on both of those stories.
We mainly have feedback on the first story about the Grab. So this is coming from Cassell. I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce your name, I'm really sorry. But he says, I was recently in Singapore for a week's holiday and I took Grab every day. I had a few drivers, maybe 3 out of about 15 plus, who drove rather recklessly. They actually made me feel quite worried for my safety. They drove too fast and were rather aggressive. But I've never had that experience with taxis.
In Singapore. Okay,
specifically. Then we've got Faz, who says, I'd feel safe if my driver kept his attention on his driving. I don't need to talk to anyone in the car, but that's just me. For the record, I do miss the rideshare service that has recently ended in Malaysia. But as a frequent traveler to Singapore, I just prefer the train services in general.
Right.
Then from a number ending in 7733, you should not be sleeping when you're riding in a car, especially if you're driving.
Well, that makes sense.
Just that. And then we have a message in from WhatsApp number 1285, ending in 1285, who just says, how about e-hailing driver safety, guys? Don't be one-sided and biased in your journalism. I don't think it's that we're being one-sided, but the study was about the riders in Singapore, not the drivers. Of course, driver safety is important as well, but that wasn't the point of the study. So,
or the story that we covered.
Yeah. So, you know, driver safety is important too, but kind of not what we're really talking about.
But also
today,
the drivers have a lot more control. So that's another thing. So, and also to Faz, I think just I kind of like it when the driver talks a lot.
You like it?
I do because it's it has like awkward silence when I'm just sitting down there and
Arvin, that's what headphones
I
are for.
I love awkward silence.
Yeah, but I don't do the headphones in the I have headphones all day at work.
But you see you what I mean? I kind of do a bit of both. I have one earpiece in. Uh-huh. So just in case, I don't want to seem totally rude. Mm. You know, if he wants to talk, I'll talk as well. But if he doesn't, then, you know, I've got the headpiece
I don't really like talking. I don't know. I like...
Don't like talking. I have never heard any more lies in my life.
I like looking out of the window and kind of just resting my eyes for a little bit and just kind of chilling out. Because when I have to make conversation, I just feel like I'm at work.
Right. We did have a message regarding the diabetes thing, though, didn't we as
well? We do, yes. Yeah. So this is from Benjamin again. Hello. Who just mentioned that there are actually two other ideas in the fight against diabetes. There are two patches. There's a glucose monitoring patch that has already been approved for public use in Europe, and there's an insulin patch that is going through scrutiny for approval, and both are painless. Yay!
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Right. Final story before we move on to some podcast suggestions. About Facebook users, the makers of Adblock Plus, they want your screenshots. Why do they want our screenshots?
Yeah, so the makers of Adblock Plus want you to submit screenshots of the ads in your Facebook feed so that a new artificial intelligence system called Sentinel can learn to recognize them. A new project from IO or however you pronounce that. IO, the German company behind the popular ad blocker, will likely spend several months training Sentinel's neural network system to recognize ads. So the AI system isn't yet available to Adblock Plus users. It's for ad blocking sometime in the future is what they've said.
Okay.
So to see how it works, you have to take a screenshot of your Facebook newsfeed that includes ads, then message Sentinel's chatbot, which is available at the Sentinel website and through Facebook's Messenger. The bot will quickly respond with sections of the uploaded image highlighted in red or green. Perceived advertisements are marked in red, and each section is labeled with the bot's estimated probability that it's right. After that, users are able to ask IO to delete screenshots immediately or later on, and it's been suggested that you should probably black out any sensitive information in your screenshots if you want to upload them to the service first, because they will not do that for you. So with Facebook, they haven't really released any statements about it, but they have approved the bot for use on Messenger. But that's really as much communication as IO has had. We have a little message in from Faz who just says, wait, the app is named Sentinel? Danger, danger.
I was just going to say the same thing.
Which is also fair. But, you know, that's just what the name is. I'm not really sure. At any rate, the company began with Facebook because Facebook specifically is a company that has taken steps to make its ads hard for ad blocking software to recognize. And in the future, IO might crowdsource ads from beyond Facebook in order to make the bot useful on other sites as well. What is interesting about this is that the idea behind this AI is also that maybe in the future, ad networks and buyers of ads could also use ad detection technology to make sure that their ads are actually being shown on sites where they're paying to run them. And government regulators could use ad detection technology to find online ads and make sure that they're in line with legal standards as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
So, I'm a bit confused. Like, whose side is the ad blocker on? So
ours.
Yeah, they're on our side. So, basically...
I like how we it's against Facebook.
So, what they're saying is that Facebook is one of those platforms where they kind of tend to hide ads without visual cues, essentially. So, it's like they'll hide ads like in the middle of videos and stuff like that. So, they want to try and train Sentinel to recognize all of the ads on Facebook so that you can block them immediately.
Okay.
Yes. So that's the idea. So they're trying to train it by you submitting your screenshots of your ads to...
I mean, it could be difficult because Facebook are going to come back at some point and say, we notice you're using an ad blocker to continue using our service. Please whitelist our webpage.
See, this is such a dilemma because I hate ad blockers.
Yeah. You do?
Yeah, because they take commissions away from content creators and stuff, especially those people who, like independent people who have websites. Ad blockers take away their ad revenue. They take away their Google AdSense. If you use it on YouTube, then then people who put up videos, they don't get the revenue that they're supposed to get. I guess it works for, you know, platforms like Facebook and stuff, but let's say the new IGTV, once they start monetizing videos and stuff, and if you have ad blockers, then the people on Instagram stop making money off of their videos. So I don't like ad blockers, but I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to help people who don't want to see ads in Facebook. I don't think that's the problem, seeing ads in Facebook. I think it's the way the ads play for the people.
Facebook, that too, but to play devil's advocate, I mean, the reason I first ever installed an ad blocker is not just because I didn't want to see the ads. Mm-hmm. It was because it was using bandwidth, and I needed that extra bandwidth. You know, my web pages were much slower without the ad blocking software.
So that part I understand. But I think now with, you know, the kind of data that we have and the internet packages that we use, I don't think bandwidth is an issue anymore.
Agreed.
I personally wouldn't use it. If it has a way, if they find a way to pressure Facebook enough to stop putting ads in the middle of conversations and chats and in the middle of videos, then it would help. Mm. But taking off ads altogether, I think it robs someone of their revenue, especially the smaller websites. Like, Facebook doesn't need the ads, they are huge, but even then, they survive on the ads itself. So the ads itself, another problem, I think. It's the way that they send them to you. Like, you know, don't be so intrusive in people's experience. Like, don't make me scroll on like the Instagram stories and all of a sudden an ad just pops up for something that I don't want to see. Make me know that an ad is going to play, or have like a banner, something that I can avoid, and it's fine. You know, like, don't put ads in the middle of my videos and stuff.
All right.
Yep. No, okay. I totally agree with that.
All right. Okay. It's time to take a short break then. Let's have some music. We've got podcast recommendations coming up. We're out of stories, but don't go anywhere. Music coming up, it's the Jamestown Revival with Revival, followed by a little bit of Queen, Crazy Little Thing Called Love, here on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Busy finding money. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It's time for us to give some podcast recommendations. But before we do that, a couple of messages to address.
Yeah, so our first story was all about how Singaporean passengers tend to prefer actual taxi services rather than using a ride-sharing service. And we've had a couple of messages in just asking us about, you know, to address the concerns of drivers and driver safety, especially in the light of the fact that, unfortunately, very sadly, there was that story about how a driver was murdered last week with his body found in Selayang after fetching a foreign passenger. So a couple of people have just messaged in saying, shouldn't you be talking about driver safety concerns as well? And of course, you know, I personally think that, first of all, I use ride sharing services mainly as a rider, so I have a very specific perspective on it personally. But second of all, of course, driver safety concerns are very, very important, and I don't think that there is enough to kind of have that addressed. I don't really know what the solution is, but, you know, it's definitely really important that the drivers are safe as well. And it's a shame that, you know, there is that level of distrust between, you know, the people that use these ride-hailing companies and the companies themselves. Mm. And that's a shame. And as much as we are concerned about that, the story was more about, you know, thinking about why people would prefer a taxi service over a ride sharing service. Mm. But, you know, that is a real shame, and we hope that we've addressed those concerns.
All right, let's give some podcast recommendations for the weekend. These are things that we think you should probably check out over the weekend. Are we going to start off with the Aerodyne Group?
Yeah. So this is the debut of our new show. So every Wednesday we have Going Global. And this week's guest was Kamarul Mohammed from the Aerodyne Group. So this is the first episode of a series called Going Global, where we feature promising local tech companies who are on their way to becoming regional and global players. And to kick off the season, we had a true Malaysian success story, which is Aerodyne Group. They are drone specialists who expanded into 18 countries within 2 years. So join us to talk about the young team's pursuit of global domination in the drone as a service tech space.
18 countries in two years.
In 2 years.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other podcast that we have
You've caught my disease.
I was so articulate 5 seconds ago, and it left. Anyway, but the next podcast that we have to recommend you is a fantastic one. This is our Her Vantage interview from Wednesday, and it's the podcast is called True Fighter of Hope, and our guest was Rachel Swetley. She is a fighter who did not let the challenges and battles in life get in her way. She was born with Morquio syndrome, MPS, which is a rare degenerative genetic disorder. It affects her physically, but not mentally. She's only able to lift a mobile phone. alone. It has not stopped her from living life. In an attempt to raise awareness on Walker-Yau syndrome and to fund for her treatment, she created the Rachel Sue Sweatley Trust Fund. And so she shared with our very own Frida Liu her journey in life on that podcast.
Wonderful stuff. That's what we've got to recommend for you for this weekend. But don't go anywhere, of course, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. They spoke with Australia's new High Commissioner to Malaysia, His Excellency Andrew Golodzinowski, the Australian High Commissioner to Malaysia, and they spoke about the prospects of a Malaysian-Australia relationship moving forward in the wake of the new Malaysia, as well as the new trade and business investment opportunities. Before that, though, we, of course, had four stories, which we're going to quickly run through, just in case you missed any of them, so you can download the app and listen back to the podcast at your leisure. So we did start off with that story about how a study has shown that Singapore travellers are the most likely to feel unsafe using ride-sharing services, according to a new study.
Yeah, and then we talked about how, sadly, Asimo, Honda's adorable humanoid robot, is no more.
Nice.
There we go.
Then we spoke about how a team from Canada's University of Waterloo is looking at using radar technology and AI to end finger prick blood glucose tests.
Yes. And then finally, we wrapped up with how the makers of AdBlock Plus want your screenshots of your Facebook ads to train its AI.
Think this one might be safe, possibly, maybe. Potentially. Mm-hmm. I'll ask Matt Armitage and Jeff Sandu first before I say that. Yeah. Right, that's all the time that we have, folks, for today. Don't forget, we will be back on Monday, same time, same place at noon. This has been Enterprise Biz Bytes from deepest, darkest Banda Atama. It's time for us to wrap up. Have a little bit of music to take us out of the show. It is Feist with My Moon, My Man. My name is Rich Bradbury. On behalf of Christine Wong and Arvind Yuvaraj, this has been Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.